All right, and welcome back. Time for Mitchell Henderson, and another update from a man who has lived it and is presenting reality to us as only someone who has lived through these kinds of things, combat, military, you name it, law enforcement, can do. And we're very grateful to Mitchell Henderson for all the things he has helped us see and better understand. Hello, my friend, and welcome back.
Hello. Good to be here.
Yeah. Better here than Ukraine. Better here than Gaza.
Definitely.
Two wars so, that tonight, our tax dollars are...
I want to talk about how the West is failing, okay?
How the West is failing. I would say the West is in terminal death spiral at this point, the West. I don't see any way to bring
it really
back.
Is.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so by saying the West is failing, I'm really saying that Israel is failing. We could see clearly last week that it is Israel that rules the world. We saw a situation where Israel alone could decide if the United States would be dragged into World War III. Everything lined up to a war that would initially pit the United States and Israel against Iran, Russia, and China. Israel's goal is the creation of Eretz Israel, which calls for the complete ethnic cleansing of the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Golan Heights, and Israel proper of all non-Jews. Israel's goal in Gaza was a complete siege cutting off food, water, and fuel to the Gaza Strip to force the Palestinians to leave. Israel accused 12 employees out of 13,000 UNRWA, that's United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East, of being involved with the Hamas attack that Israel allowed to happen on October 7th. UNRWA is the organization that keeps the people in Gaza from starving. Because of Israel's allegations against those 12, which, by the way, are unproven allegations, on Friday, the 9th, the United States, February 9th, the United States cut off all funding to UNRWA. On March 22nd, Mr. outwardly high holy Christian Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, got a $1.2 trillion spending bill through Congress that banned any funding for UNRWA. Speaker Johnson is the Antichrist's bitch. World Central Kitchen had picked up some of the slack. It had provided 42 million cooked meals for Palestinians. This was defeating Israel's purposes.
Yep.
Israel did two things to stop it. On April 1st, they hunted down and cold-bloodedly murdered 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers so that the WCK would stop feeding Palestinians so that they would be starved out. This was a war crime directly against the Geneva Conventions. They also bombed the Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, the same day, in contravention of the 1963 Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Affairs. Both of these are war crimes they did that day. Clear and obvious war crimes. They did this to distract attention away from the war crime committed upon WCK workers. Iran protested to the UN Security Council about this very clear diplomatic violation. All Iran wanted was a Security Council resolution condemning Israel for breaking the law. That's all they wanted. The Antichrist bitches in the United States, France, United Kingdom all vetoed it, saying there was no proof that Israel did it. It worked. Iran insisted on a retaliation against Israel, and that distracted from the focus on the war crimes committed upon WCK. You see, after the WCK war crime, the disgusting pedophile Biden had to say that things had changed with Israel and we might have to adjust our arrangement and put conditions on military aid to Israel. Within a week, Biden was sucking on Netanyahu's nasty ass and saying that we gave unconditional support to the defense of Israel no matter what. The Iran threat successfully covered up for the war crime and took it out of the news cycle. Iran attacked Israel with 350 air weapons, and the United States shot most of them down at a cost of $1.5 billion. Iran said that they did this precisely because the UN Security Council failed to condemn Israel for attacking their consulate. Israel said it would retaliate. Now notice when they told this news of the 350 missiles that Iran fired on Israel, they acted like, well, they just did this out of the blue. There was no reason for it. They're just bad people, and they decided to attack Israel.
They didn't mention anything
that came before.
That's right.
So Russia said that if America made even the smallest attack on Iran, Russia would enter the war on Iran's side. The Iranian foreign minister made it clear that if America was at war with Iran, they would be at war with Russia and China. Iran informed the neighboring Arab states that if they helped Israel or America attack their soil, they would be at war with them. Most of the Arab states then told America that they would not use military, they could not use military bases on their soil to launch an attack on Iran. Israel complained to the UN Security Council about Iran's attack, but China and Russia vetoed any UN Security Council resolution condemning them. At this point, Israel's bitches, the US, UK, and France, begged on the knees for Israel to not attack. The U.S. even told Israel to go ahead with their attack on Rafah in the Gaza Strip. Before the Iran fiasco, they were saying, don't do it, don't do it. But it was okay after the Iran thing. America was back at the feet of Israel.
Mitch, hold on. You'll like this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not. I didn't know this. But the word came, Don Jeffries, the first hour tonight, said that his information is that when Mike Johnson was 25 years old, an adult, he adopted a 15-year-old black boy legally.
Really?
That's what Don says. Now, later on, he had a family. I guess he had more traditional, but you talk about pervert pedophiles. What are you to think? It wasn't like he adopted a 4-year-old kid to give a child a good life. He adopted a 15-year-old. This is a story now. I can't tell you it's 100% accurate. But Jeffries is smart. 15-year-old black boy who is, for all intents and purposes, a physiological adult. And he adopted him when he was 25. Now, if that's true, this guy is so owned and controlled, it's not funny. They've got so much on this guy.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense. He totally caved. So Israel did attack, but symbolically. But that is all Iran really did. Israel did this because they are losing their war against Hamas. The acronym Hamas was chosen because, as a word, it means forever. The same as the Spanish word Hamas, which is spelled with a J, but it's pronounced the same way, and it means forever also. So they intend it to be forever. Israel cannot kill an idea, okay? Israel knows that it has to drag the United States into this war to win. We could see last week that whether or not the United States enters World War III and possible nuclear annihilation is not up to the American people, the American Congress, or the American president. It is up to one man, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Antichrist. Netanyahu is the only man who knows where and when America will go to war. The United States will obey anything asked of it by the Antichrist, Netanyahu. So last fall, Speaker Johnson said he would not put aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan before the Congress to vote on it until the president protected our own border. The disgusting pedophile Biden and his wormy Jewish border boss, Mayorkas, held out. On March 20th, 2024, Speaker Johnson betrayed Christ, betrayed America, betrayed the American people, and betrayed humanity by passing a $61 billion aid bill for Ukraine, a $26 billion aid bill for Israel. Nobody who knows Christ and has the Holy Spirit in him could possibly send billions to the Jewish Zelensky government that has already sent 500,000 young white Christian men to their deaths on the Donbass front, nor send funds to the Jewish Netanyahu government to commit intentional genocide in Gaza, send bombs to murder women and children, support a nation guilty of crimes against humanity, war crimes, and crimes against the Vienna Convention. Let me reiterate this. What defines an Antichrist, okay? Just forget anything anybody else says. This is the definition right out of the book. 1 John 2, 22-23 states clearly, who is a liar but he who denies that Christ, Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. This is the only definition of the Antichrist that matters. Let us be clear. Jews deny the Christ, so they do not know God. Christ and God are not on Israel's or the Jews' side, period. Do not listen to your preacher or your church. Listen to Christ. Do the math. There are 16 million Jews, 8 million in Israel, and about 8 million in the United States. Revelations say that only 144,000 Jews will remain after Armageddon. If God is saving only 144,000 Jews, how can you possibly believe that Christ is coming to save Israel? How can you possibly believe that Christ is coming to save the Jews? That is 0.0009% of all Jews. Does that sound like he's coming to save them? How will Israel be a nation with only 144,000 Jews? That is a medium-sized city, not a country. Please think. The Jews and Israel are the Antichrist. Christ is not coming to save the Antichrist. He is coming to save Christians. John Hagee, chairman of the Christians United for Israel, cannot possibly know Christ if his God is Israel and the Jews. He is the false prophet of Christian Zionism. He is leading 50 million Christian Zionists into the pit. He is a friend of the Antichrist, not Christ. Think about what I just said above. If only 144,000 Jews will survive Armageddon and half of them live in the United States, it is sort of obvious that the United States will be destroyed in Armageddon. Because these 8 million Jews that live in America cannot possibly live. And how can the 8 million Jews in America die? Through nuclear war, okay? There's 50 million Christian Zionists who choose Israel over Christ will perish with the Jews in a war, okay, in this big war. The book of Revelation says not to add anything to it or subtract anything from it. If you look at John Hagee's interpretation of Revelation, it sees it through the lens of Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Daniel. He has added so much to it that it is unrecognizable. Let me give you a quick Reader's Digest version of the Bible so that you can understand. Okay?
All right.
In just
okay.
a few paragraphs, I'm going to tell you the whole story of the Bible, all right?
Okay.
Cain murders Abel because he is envious and greedy.
Mitch.
Yes.
Go slowly. Yes. Just take your time.
Okay. All right. So Cain murders Abel because he is envious and greedy. God loves him, so he curses him to live in foreign lands as a stranger, but puts a mark on them so that they will not be killed. These are the Jews, the children of Cain. So God still loves Cain, so after seeing them suffer, he brings them out of captivity in Egypt and into the Promised Land. As soon as God delivers them, the Jews build a golden calf to worship because they want to worship something that they can see. So God, still loving Cain, decides to come down himself as a man that they can see and talk to. This was Christ, and they murdered him. The Jews murdered Abel. Then the Jews murdered God. That was it. He banished the Jews from their land for their wicked and evil ways. So he gives the children of Cain, the Jews, 2,000 years to get their act together. For 2,000 years, Jews torment the earth. Then God lets them manifest themselves before the world as the filthy Jezebel whores and murderers that they are. It should be apparent to all who it should be apparent to all who the Antichrist is, Israel. Israel takes peace from the world. This is the end times. It is the end. It is the time for people to choose between Christ and Antichrist. If you choose the Antichrist, you are doomed in hell with all the children of Cain. But God still loves Cain, and he cannot let him go. So he spares 144,000 children of Cain, the Jews. He gives them 1,000 years to get their act together and come back to him. But it is in Cain's nature to destroy. Next time, all the Jews will be exterminated to the last one. Keep in mind that Jews that find Christ are no longer Jews. That is patient. The children of Cain are stubborn. Through the millennia, a few children of Cain make their way back to God through Christ. Christ is the only way back to God. See 1 John 2:22 above. So I have just given you a synopsis of the entire Bible in 5 paragraphs. It cannot be any clearer. Christ is not coming back to save the Jews or Israel. He is coming back to save you. If anyone complicates this picture, they are dissembling. Truth is straightforward and clear, not convoluted and obscure, as John Hagee makes it. He is a viper and a false prophet. Satan is the lord of this world. The Jewish constructed consensus reality that we all unthinkingly acquiesce into when we are born. Israel is the Antichrist, the daughter of Satan. John Hagee is the false prophet that leads the Christians into the pit with the Jews. This is the Satanic Trinity. There is still time for even Speaker Johnson to find Christ. He does not know him now. How can I possibly know that? Well, Christ said that you can tell a tree by its fruits. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Giving the Jewish Antichrist in Ukraine $61 billion to slaughter more Ukrainian Christians is bad fruit. Giving Israel $26 billion to murder Palestinian women and children is bad fruit. The man who pays the hitman is just as guilty as the hitman for those murders. So now is the time of the Antichrist. A month ago, anti-Israel protesters were not arrested. Now all anti-Israel protesters are arrested. They are talking about making these protests a felony. Soon the left will know what it is like to be a January 6th prisoner. The Antichrist does not like or allow disagreement. What is next? You have seen a preview. If you watch the Iranian attack on Israel, it looked like falling stars. That was only 350 missiles and drones. Iran has 100,000. Hezbollah has 40,000. What do you think a war with Iran will look like? Falling stars. What do you think World War III will look like when Israel is losing and they exercise the Samson option? But out of desperation, they launch a nuclear weapon, setting off a global nuclear war. You will see the sixth seal is falling stars and great earthquake. This coincides with the sixth trumpet, which is a war centered on the Euphrates. That would be where Iran comes together with the Arab countries. This is also coincides with the sixth bowl, which is a war centered upon the Euphrates. These are all the Israel-Iran war. Notice this is only from Revelation. It's not from any other book. Okay, and that would be the sixth seal. The sixth trumpet, and the sixth bowl, 666, okay? Our military is preparing for this. America has a real soldier shortage. Let me tell you what Congress is doing. I checked this out with an Army captain who commands a recruiting company, okay? So this is not rumor that I'm about to say. So we have the 1903 Dick Act. It is the militia law. It divides the militia into the organized militia, which is the National Guard, the unorganized militia, which is also called the reserve militia. The reserve militia has three classes. The first is all men between 17 and 45 that have no military training. This is who they draft when they have conscription. They are registered with the Selective Service. The second is all men and women who had enlisted service with the military and have been trained. They are in the reserve militia until they are 64 years old. The third is all men and women who have been commissioned officers. They are in the reserve militia for life. During the war on terrorism, they tried to call back former soldiers from the individual ready reserve. Most of them ignored the call and suffered no penalty. They know that if they try to call back trained soldiers from the reserve militia, that most will not come. They need to hold something over these people to make them come. There are two groups that they can blackmail: retired soldiers getting retirement pay and disabled veterans on VA disability pay. They intend to call retired veterans and veterans on VA disability pay up because if they don't come, they will stop getting their retirement pay or VA disability pay. They intend to call former enlisted people back up to 64 years of age and former officers call them up to 70 years of age. They won't be sent to the front. They will do administrative and training duties here stateside. They would only be planning this if they knew we were headed for a big war. They will also enlist illegal aliens and offer them citizenship if they join. Then they can vote for the disgusting pedophile Joe Biden. I just have to make this clear because, you know, if I watch Christian Broadcasting Network, that's Pat Robertson's old program. It's just shameful. I mean, the guy gets up there and he says, "Oh, well, if you criticize Israel, you're criticizing Christ. You're persecuting Israel in Christ's name." How could you be so far away from reality and truth? I mean, it's Israel that persecutes Christ. They're not. Israel is not doing anything in Christ's name. Nothing. Goodness, no. Whatsoever. No. Okay. You know, I was talking to.
Hold on, Mitch. Hold your thought.
Yeah.
The 45 million, okay, approximately Christian Zionists in America would heartily disagree, mm-hmm, with you. These people,
yes,
may be the most dangerous group of all. That has been said by more than a few people. All right.
They have already sold their soul to the Antichrist. You know, how can you possibly think? I mean, if you listen, the verse that defines what the Antichrist is says very clearly that if you deny the Christ, you are the Antichrist. If you deny the Christ, you don't know the Son, and you don't know the Father either. That means God is not protecting the Jews. God is not doing anything for the Jews. The Jews do not know him, okay? They just do not know him. How can it be made any more clear than that? Okay, Christ is not. How can 50 million people believe that Christ is not coming to save them, but coming to save Israel and the Jews? How can they possibly believe that? I mean, it's brainwashing. I think like a month ago or 2 months ago or something like that, I did a thing on dispensationalism and where this idea started in 1928, okay? And it's just mushroomed. And then Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth and the Left Behind series, those are all Christian Zionist propaganda, all of it. Okay, they even asked the question. They asked the question. And I wondered all my life. I'm like, they said, "Well, who's the Antichrist going to be?" And I'm always thinking, "Well, is it Gorbachev? Is it this guy? Is it that guy?" And see, that is part of the brainwashing too, because the Bible tells you who the Antichrist is right in the Bible, right in Scripture. It tells you who he is. It's not a mystery. It's obvious who it is. How could it be more clear?
I don't know. I agree. It's right there in the open. It's sitting right up there.
So I know I harp on this, but I harp on this because you know, that's 50 million people that should be on our side, you know. But instead, they're on the Antichrist side. It's just pathetic, really, you know.
I agree. I mean,
most of those people will actually be voting for Trump.
I know.
I mean, these people do not like our culture. They do not like the Marxist culture we have.
No.
Yet they obey and they pray to, I mean, their God is Israel, the people who are making all this trouble. You know, when they talk about this, they say, in the end times, Christ said this, in the end times, even the elect will be deceived. Well, Christian Zionists, that's you. You are the elect that is deceived, and you better wake up, okay? These people will use you and throw you out like trash. They have no loyalty to you.
Oh, no, none at all. It's so bad out there, Mitch. How could this possibly ever get better? It can't. It's got to get a lot worse before it might get better someday in the distant future. We're headed toward a nuclear exchange.
Well,
I don't see any other way to view it.
The oncoming war is the destruction of Israel. God, Christ isn't coming to save Israel. He's coming to destroy it. It will be destroyed, and then we'll have some peace. You know?
And they're only...
Israel takes peace from the world.
How many... There are only 16 million... people who identify as being Jewish on the whole planet. That's the part that is really hard. It's too hard for people to accept that these people are that smart and have done that well at literally co-opting and controlling and hegemonizing the planet. They just can't believe it. But it's the truth.
Yesterday, I was talking to Lori Kaufman. She was Jewish all her life until she became Christian. Okay, and I was talking to her, and you know, Christians can so easily say, well, God blesses those who bless Israel. But she was saying when she grew up, she said, you know, you could never get a Jewish person to say something like Christ is king. And I said, well, what if you offer him money? You know, and she says, no, there's nothing. She says, she has seen Jews in Christian organizations who just could not utter the words. I mean, it is in their bones. They cannot say anything positive about Christ. So, and even some, like Andrew Klavan, he has converted to Catholicism, and he's the one who came out with the thing that if you say Christ is king, that is a trope, that is an anti-Semitic trope, okay, because it implies that God is not going to save the Jews. Well, you know, I think the New Testament and the book of Revelation implies, the book of Revelation doesn't imply that God is not going to save the Jews. It out and out says that he's not, in plain English, if you're reading English, but it just says out clearly that it is. So, you know, it doesn't matter what Scripture says. What matters is what the people tell you, what the church tells you, what preachers tell you, what priests tell you. That's what people listen to. If they go read it for themselves, they will see that it's all entirely a different story than they're familiar with. Okay? So, I just, you know, it's like, you know, why would you listen to some guy? I mean, if you look at Jeremiah 31:31, it says clearly in there, God is capable of speaking to you, and he is certainly capable of listening to you. And it says, no man will have to go and tell another man about God, because he can tell. Everybody will know God in their heart. Okay. Well, you know, that apparently doesn't mean anything at all. You know, and I think in Jude it says that once you have Christ and once you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need men to teach you. The Holy Spirit teaches you. Okay, and let me translate this. You know, it's your soul, it's your life. You better start thinking for yourself, okay? Because all these people who talk to you do not have your best interests at heart, okay? So let me leave it at that. Let me get on to talking about some fighting in the city survival things, because over the next few months, I need to get that information out to people, you know.
The cities are dying right now, as we speak, right now. Many of them every day they're getting worse and worse.
I overheard some people talking the other day, and they were talking about all these cops that are getting shot, like like yesterday, two got shot today. A motorcycle cop got shot in the back while sitting in a, you know, park, stopped at a red
light. There won't be any cops in the city soon. They're going to put the military in there, and most of the military, or much of it, I'll bet, ends up being some of the invader forces that are coming across the border. They'll deputize them and arm them and turn them loose.
Because they hate us, and that's exactly who they in charge. Well, these police officers, these people were talking, and that, what they were, they had a complaint, and they said that they think that this is happening. These cops are getting shot at traffic stops and stuff like that because the police will not arrest burglars, murderers, robbers, rapists, child molesters. They won't arrest them. The burglars, none of them, they won't arrest them. But they do have the time to come out and give you a ticket, nickel and dime you to death. And people are starting to resent that the police can come and bother a law-abiding citizen, but cannot be bothered to go arrest actual criminals. Okay, so they're, what you're seeing actually is a resentment on the part of the people. Okay, I mean, when I overheard this today, this is at lunch, I overheard this, and I was like, whoa, people are really putting some perspective on this. They really do resent the police because the police are not our friends. The police help bad people. They don't. They prey upon good people. They don't help good people. They help bad people. And this is not necessarily true in all cases, but let me tell you, this is a perception that people are getting. And I'll tell you, I used to be a cop. Let me just say it this way. If a cop does you good and a cop is fair and just and honest, that's a credit to him. Do not think that that's what the police brass are doing. It's the police brass that's causing all the problems. The cop down on the street, many of them are good. But if they do good, that's to their credit, not to the police department's credit. Just keep that in your mind, okay? So... It's same with the soldier. Right. If a soldier does good, that's to his credit, not to the U.S. Army's credit.
Yeah. Absolutely right. All right, carry on. The cities are going to be hell on earth for all of you in them. I wish you could all get out.
The last time I was talking about how you clear a building, you clear it from the top down, and that's just because it's easier, you know, stuff rolls downhill. Okay, so now I'm going to briefly talk about entering buildings at lower levels. When entering a building at the lower level, fighters should avoid entry through windows and doors as much as possible, since both can easily be booby-trapped and are probably covered by enemy fire. Ideally, when entering at lower levels, it is preferable to use tools or explosives to create a new entrance. By making a new entrance, fighters can avoid any booby-traps. If using explosives, quick entry is required to follow up for the effects of the blast and concussion. Always throw a hand grenade into a place you are going to enter. If you do not have a hand grenade, try using tear gas to empty the building out. If the ground level windows are high, carry a small telescoping aluminum ladder that is lightweight and available at hardware stores. If you have people with you, they can help boost you into the window. Still, hug the sill and keep a low profile going in. In other words, don't just sit up and go in, kind of roll in. Okay, so my next issue is attacking the building. Let me put this simple and clear. You cannot take the risk of attacking a building. Survival is not a military operation. The defenders have the advantage, and you cannot afford to become injured. If you must eliminate the people in the building, just burn it down or blow it up. You do not have the luxury of assaulting it. Put it out of your mind. There is no building with your life or the life of your friends. Okay?
Good.
So next, let me get into clearing positions in the city, because that's different than the countryside, okay? Your survival in the city depends on you being able to place accurate fire on your enemy with the least possible exposure to return fire. Consequently, you must constantly seek firing positions, and you must use them properly when you find them. There are two types of firing positions, hasty and prepared. The hasty firing position is occupied while moving or in the initial phase of the defense. It is a position from which you can place fire on an enemy fighter while using available cover to gain some degree of protection from return fire. You may occupy it voluntarily, or you may be forced to occupy it due to enemy fire. In either case, the position lacks preparation prior to occupation. Some common hasty firing positions are the corner of buildings, firing from behind walls, and firing from windows, firing from unprepared loopholes, and firing from peaks of roofs. Always consider the construction materials and remember what stops bullets and what does not. The corner of a building provides cover for a hasty firing position, but the firer must be capable of firing his weapon both right and left-handed to fire around corners. A common error made in firing around corners is firing from the wrong shoulder. This exposes more of the firer's body to return fire than necessary. By firing from the proper shoulder, the firer can reduce the target area exposed to the enemy's fire. Another common mistake when firing around corners is firing from the standing position. The firer exposes himself at the height the enemy would expect the target to appear and risks exposing the entire length of his body as a target for the enemy. When firing from behind a wall, you must fire around cover when possible and not over it. Otherwise, follow the same rules as firing around corners. Make yourself small. When looking around a corner or a wall, keep yourself small. Go to the base and just peek your head out quickly. You can also use a mirror. Using a mirror when you are in the shadow is best so it does not flash. But if you can carry a small pocket mirror with you as an aid to surveillance, especially the telescoping kind so you don't have to expose your hand. You need your hand, okay? In the city, windows provide readily accessible firing ports. The enemy knows this, too. You must avoid firing from a standing position since it exposes most of your body to return fire by the enemy and can silhouette you against light-colored interior wall or a window on the other side of the building. You must not allow the muzzle of your weapon to protrude beyond the window because it gives away your position and makes it easier to kill you.
Oh, you can't
also,
hang
at night, the muzzle flash from your weapon gives away your position, so you don't want it sticking out beyond the window. It is best to be well back in the room to prevent the muzzle flash from being seen. It is best to kneel to limit the area of your body as a target for an enemy shooter. Of course, make sure you're not silhouetting yourself. If there are loopholes torn in a wall, they are better than using windows. Stay well back from the loophole so the muzzle does not protrude and give your position away, and so the muzzle flash of your weapon is concealed. The peak of a roof provides a vantage point for snipers that increases your field of vision and the ranges at which you can engage targets. A chimney, smokestack, or other object protruding from the roof of a building can reduce your exposure as a target and should be used. When you come under fire and none of these hasty positions are available, you must still expose as little of yourself as possible. You should lie prone as close as possible to a building on the same side of the open area as the enemy. Not on the other side of the enemy, but the same side as the enemy. That way, to engage you, the enemy must then lean out the window and expose himself to fire. When no cover is available, target exposure can be reduced by firing from a prone position, firing from shadows, presenting no silhouette against buildings or the skyline, and using tall grass, weeds, or shrubbery for concealment. So the prepared firing position is for when you're digging in for a defense. These are hardened to give you more protection from enemy fire. To harden a window, you need to put sandbags or other bullet-stopping material behind the window, wire mesh over the window to stop grenades from coming in, and it's good if you have lace see-through curtains that allow you to see out but not allow the enemy to see in. When you need to have, then you need to have wet blankets under the muzzle of your rifle to keep dust from being kicked up. Make sure to take all glass out of the window so you are not hit with flying glass. A defensive window will be obvious, so leave the window opening square so the enemy cannot pinpoint your position behind the window. You can also reinforce loopholes that are cut into or blown out of a wall. reinforce this position with sandbags so you can protect yourself from enemy fire. Sandbags will be placed below, around, and even above if possible. It is best to have alternate firing positions so that you do not always have to shoot from the same position. That allows them to find you. Moving often helps you reduce your chances of getting shot and also confuses your enemy about how many of you there are. The sandbags below you are to protect you from explosions on the floor before below you. Use a table to put sandbags above you to protect you from explosions on the floor above you. Make a wall behind the position out of sandbags or other material to protect you from explosions on the floor that you are on. Camouflage this loophole position by knocking other loopholes in the wall to make it harder for them to figure out which loophole the fire is coming from. Siding can be removed from the outside of the building to make the loopholes less noticeable. To make hardened sniper positions on a roof, try and locate it on the backside of a peak roof near a chimney. You will cut a hole in the roof and make a platform so you can stand up and shoot from position, shooting from the side of the chimney. You will need sandbags to cover the front and sides. If there are no chimneys, get to the front side of the peak and remove pieces of roofing to make a firing hole. Once again, remove other pieces of roofing material so that it confuses your enemy about which hole you are firing from. Reinforce with cover on the sides and front sides and front of your firing position. Do not let the muzzle of the rifle poke out of the hole and give your position away, or allow your muzzle flash at night to be spotted. Put wet cloth down to keep from kicking up dust when you fire. Build several positions and alternate firing positions to avoid detection. Some rules for selecting and occupying individual firing positions are as follows. Okay, so make maximum use of available cover and concealment. Avoid firing over when possible. Fire around it. Avoid silhouetting against light-colored buildings or the skyline. Select a new firing position carefully before leaving an old one. Avoid setting a pattern. Fire from both barricaded windows and unbarricaded windows. Mm-hmm. Keep exposure to a minimum. Begin improving hasty positions immediately after occupation. Construction material for prepared positions is readily available in a built-up area. Positions which would provide cover at ground level may not provide cover on higher floors. Okay, so I think you can see that fighting in the city is very difficult, very complex. Okay, so let me just state the obvious. You should throw a hand grenade into any room to clear it before you go in. You simply are not going to have enough hand grenades. You need to make mouse holes to enter buildings safely. You simply are not going to have enough explosives to do that day in and day out. You must carry all these extra tools for urban combat, engineering tools. It's too much to carry for a small group. As you can tell, fighting in the city is dangerous. Most of these techniques are used to move in areas occupied by other people. You will need a grappling hook, rope, sledgehammers, bolt cutters, explosives, tear gas grenades, lots of hand grenades, and lots of smoke grenades.
Where do we get these, Mitch? At Walmart?
Yep, just common tools, nothing special.
I don't know where people are going to get grenades, smoke grenades, or any of these. They're going to have to make their own somehow. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think I said previously that you can go on YouTube, and they tell you how to make smoke grenades. They tell you how to make fragmentation grenades. But check in your own state. Making smoke grenades may be legal. It's legal in some. It's legal in my state. It may be legal in other states too. But you don't want to get busted before everything happens and be sitting in a jail cell when the shit hits the fan, okay? So right. Fragmentation grenades are absolutely illegal to make. It's a federal crime, okay, as well as a state crime. Do not make them. Don't make them. Right. After everything falls apart, that's when you can make them. Just you'll get the information from YouTube now, and then when the time comes, just, you know, do your best, right? And not only that, but even in the Civil War, as foreign powers start funneling a lot of ammunition and weapons into the war zone, so it may become possible that you can find hand grenades or capture them.
Well, can you imagine how many grenades and AKs and other weapons are all over the front lines in Donbass now?
Going back for two years,
there must be countless hundreds of thousands of rifles lost all over the place there. I don't know.
Well, listen, when I was in Costa Rica in 1980. Okay, you could buy a fully automatic AK-47 for $250.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
You could buy a hand grenade, a live hand grenade, for $150. And this
Come
is
on.
Not even in Nicaragua. This is in the neighborhood.
Buck and a half?
You could buy.
Wow.
A buck and a half. The grenades are pretty cheap. I mean, look, the Mexican cartels bought $178,000 Javelin missiles for $30,000 and $40,000
That's
from
right.
Ukraine.
That's right.
Yeah. All this weapons were sent to Ukraine. That's going all over the world. That's not going to Ukraine. That's going to all over the world. That's a black market item.
Selling terrorism all over the place. That's what we're doing.
Right. I mean, you know, the news media says, oh, well, America's a curse upon Mexico because they buy all their guns down here. Let me tell you, when the shit hits the fan, you will be able to go to Mexico and buy fully automatic weapons, hand grenades, landmines, rocket launchers. They will have all that for sale for you, okay, when the shit hits the fan, okay? So do not believe these woke, ignorant people who don't know anything about wars going on in this world or anything going on in this world. They know nothing about what's going on.
That's correct.
World.
It's true.
So
you
will need an immense amount of ammunition in the city. You will need skills and trained people. You cannot survive in a city on your own because you must sleep sometime. You need at least one other person to be awake while you are sleeping. If you are on your own, you must sleep where no one would look for you to be sleeping. Like when I was a kid in the streets of New Orleans, I never slept where the other homeless people slept because that is where people hunt for victims. Street people prey upon each other. I would go to some really scary alley in an industrial area and sleep out of view, covered up. Predators don't come to these places to find victims. This is where they would dump their victims' dead bodies at. It's not where they kill them, it's where they dump their bodies, okay? Well, they might kill them there and leave their body there, but they're not looking for the people to kill in that alley. So there are just too many people in a city competing for limited resources. It will eat up immense resources to fight all the other people. You are unlikely to have the resources to defend your part of the city. Your neighbors are not soldiers and are not part of a team and are used to being independent in their lives. They are most likely to get you killed. They are not disciplined for survival on their own and certainly not disciplined for group survival. They will get you killed. The learning curve in a gunfight is a death curve. There are no second place winners, and your mistakes can be fatal. There are no second chances. The faster you can get away from people, the better. Let me reemphasize that. The faster you can get away from people, the better. There are already organized groups in the city, even in relatively small towns, that are already organized to take over part or all of the town. They are criminal gangs. They are not going to take care of you. They will simply take from you. They will use you and you won't like it. My advice is to get out of the city as soon as possible and get away from people. It is other people that are a threat to you. Move immediately after the fighting begins as possible. There will be a time before even the gangs can mobilize. Mobs will start forming within days. The government may send troops in to impose martial law. The government will treat you no better than the criminal gang will. It will take time for the troops and the cops to establish martial law. Get out of the city fast, or you will not have, so you won't have to suffer through all the urban fighting. Okay, just get out of the town. In other words, everything I'm talking to you about fighting in the city, it's good to know that you want to get out of the city before you ever have to do it. Okay?
Well said. It's going to be, chaos doesn't even come close. You really have to have a plan. Plan now. Figure out a route that'll get you out.
Yep.
Mitchell, thank you. Excellent, as always.
You're welcome.
And talk to you soon.
Okay.
You will.
Bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson. And you can find Mitch's programs on the homepage. Look on the left-hand side and just look for Mitchell Henderson. They're all there. We will be back with you tomorrow night. Hope all is well. I hope David Oates is feeling even better than he was last time. We'll find out tomorrow. Okay, take care. Talk soon.